This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Got to be a little bit quieter than I've been before because Mike Schilt's doing his daily presser about, you don't want to upset Schilt 5 yards away.
You don't want to upset Schilt.
No.
Again.
Again. And again.
Boy, can you shut up?
And boy. Again. And
swear
again.
To God, boy. Keep flapping them gums, boy. I told you, I want to get him to call you boy this year.
I know.
More than anything in the world. I'll pay him, actually.
We got close today when I,
pretty much.
I jokingly suggested that a 2 or 3 game losing streak in Cactus League play is unacceptable.
Save it, save it. I don't know that he knows that you're joking. I think he really believes that you are upset.
That was a real treat to get to sit down with Luis Ariz in our last segment. It's really the reason we come out here is that it's hard to set up those guys during their season.
You know,
they're traveling. They've got all kinds of work to do. They're up late for games, but when we're sitting out here, we do get this incredible opportunity to get to know them a little bit better, to get some of their stories. I thought,
what
him talking about his mom, mom being his inspiration, taking him to hit off the tee, hitting the cages, growing up in Venezuela and having that positive attitude that he brings just every day into the clubhouse and onto the field was pretty amazing.
I think my favorite part of it was him talking about the time difference from Miami to San Diego. I legitimately never thought about it, and it kind of hit him all at once. He's like,
"But you do adjust at some point. You're now living on the West Coast.
You do adjust, certainly. But again, you think about what these guys put their bodies through the course of the season and all that. But then you get out here and you're playing games here on a regular basis, and you're like, "Why am I exhausted? Oh, because it's 11 o'clock where I have been playing for the last couple of seasons. I thought that was really hysterical and just really open. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, we've got some SDFC tickets we're going to give away this hour. I heard yesterday, I think it was the day before, talking about the prices. I think it's 78 was like the get-in price for that first SDFC game. So that's a pretty good prize. Pair of tickets to the game. I think it was Scraby was talking about, what does it cost to go to like a Barcelona game? And he goes, well, it's about the same to get to one of those games as well. So this is a history-making game for San Diego FC.
Oh, yeah.
This Saturday, though. So that's a pretty good prize. We'll do that in just a couple of minutes here. So stay tuned for that. We just gave you the lineup for the game today. We might have Tony Gwynn Jr. dropping by after the Mike Schilt press conference. He's standing around with the scrum right now.
And
so
I've been told they are working on it. The architect himself, A.J. Preller, trying to get him on before we get out of here in the next hour.
Nice.
Biggest fan?
That's right. It is 9 o'clock. Let's give our biggest fan out right now. Thank you for the reminder, Woodsy.
It wasn't me. It was Brandon in the chat. I would have never
remembered. Thank you, Brandon, in the chat. It is time to announce today's biggest fan.
So dialed in.
If you hear your name called, you'll have 10 minutes to call Frankie back in the studio at 833-288-0973 and qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember, you can register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. But this morning, the honor goes to Jason Bullock from El Cajon. Jason Bullock, you are on the clock for 10 minutes right now, 833-288-0973. Good luck. Frankie is standing by back in the studio to take your phone call for the next 10 minutes.
Man, you know what's the funniest thing about coming out here every year? Every single year I sit here and go, who beats us? Nobody beats us. We're winning the World Series. Every single freaking year, dude. I'm out here. I was watching Dylan Cease throw off the mound. I just watched Yu Darvish walk by. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love these guys. I love these guys. So excited to be here. I'm ready to run through a wall right now. Whatever they need. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
I mean, there are a lot of good players.
And
I'm sure that's true at a lot of the camps.
No doubt.
Not most of the camps.
Yep.
But when you sit down and you see them, and
truly hope springing eternal inside my body now.
But
it really is.
It's not a stretch of the imagination for the Padres.
No, it's not.
You know, yes, we know how good the Dodgers
are. It's going to take some. It's going to take some luck. It's going to take some magic. But it's not that I don't think that this team is capable of finding some of that magic. Certainly,
you know, we mentioned with Luis Arraez. You know, earlier we talked to with Tyler Wade. We asked him what position he prefers to play, and he said anywhere.
Anyway.
And Jake has always kind of been the same way.
Yep.
I didn't ask Luis about it, but he had said in the UT yesterday, said, I'm not a first baseman. I'm not a designated hitter. I'm a second baseman.
Yeah.
But wherever they need me to play, I'm happy to play. And so he's going to play first base this year, and he's been working on it, you know, during spring training. But at least knowing, I think, going into the year that that's going to be his role.
Yeah.
Well, make it a little bit easier for him.
No doubt.
All right, sitting down with us. We don't actually get to see him that often, and at least until baseball season starts, but it's always a pleasure to talk to our afternoon colleague here on 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr. is here with us. Tony,
good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you?
How's your spring been so far?
Today is a week today, and it feels like a month, but it's been... It's been fun. It's been
all right.
Fun.
Well, so you went through this as a player. Tougher for a broadcaster or a player?
It's tougher for a player. Well, it depends on the type of player. Like, if you are a guy who's established, spring training is relatively easy for you.
Yeah.
If you're a guy who, like I was most of the time, fighting for a job, it's long days, a lot of stress. I still put it on the player.
A lot of kind of I got to imagine, too, because we were talking to Schulte and Ruben and the guys that are going to be ultimately making the decisions, right, on the fifth spot,
yeah.
The sixth spot,
yeah.
The bullpen, the left field, the catcher. When you're a player fighting, you know, for a role, you're an Oscar Gonzalez or you're a, you know, even a Jason Hayward, you know, coming in here. There's nothing guaranteed to any of these guys.
No.
Man, that kind of feeling of – looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's two ways you can approach it. You can have, you are always going to have the feeling of looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
But as I got, you know, a little more service time under my belt, I realized you have to kind of attack it.
Right.
It can't be a kind of
the half-ass looking around.
You got to attack it and kind of create your space. And most of the time, when I did that, I had a lot of success. And that way, you stop worrying about who's behind you. You're more focused on what you're doing.
Tony, obviously you get an eye for this, you know, growing up the way you did with your dad. Who stood out to you? Just maybe a name that we haven't been talking about as much that you've seen either in a game or just in a cage somewhere that goes, oh, okay,
Oscar Gonzalez has stood out to me for sure. I kind of like forgot about him, right? I mean, we saw him in 22, I think it was.
Dominated.
Had a really good season. And then, alas, what happens to a lot of young dudes? You lose some confidence and you become a different player. And to kind of see him working the other way and talking to Victor Rodriguez about it, I mean, he's definitely on my radar. I thought Stephen Kolick looked fantastic yesterday.
A lot of strikes.
That sinker was, you know, doing what sinkers do. Getting ground balls.
Weak ground balls, breaking down.
I think those two at least initially have stood out to me.
You know, and I think we've seen a lot, like you were just talking about, a lot of good players have come up through the league and maybe had success in their first year, and then you get into the second year, and it's, maybe I need to elevate my game a little bit.
100%.
We're human. At the end of the day, we always forget that these guys are human because they do superhuman things. But I look at a guy like Jackson Merrill, and I looked at the adjustments he made game to game, you know, series to series last year. What have you seen from Jackson so far this spring training?
I've seen a guy that is very conscientious, seemingly, of not having that year two. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think sometimes, especially a player of his caliber, they recognize that there are guys who've come through this league, had a really terrific rookie of the year type first year, and then, you know, kind of lost their way. And I think he's very cognizant of that.
It's probably good to be cognizant that it exists, but not dome yourself out about it so much.
And that's why I say I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, right? You want to be aware of it, but at the same time, you don't want that to be your all.
That's
so,
it.
I don't – guys like Jackson, at least at this point, I don't really worry about – they got the – this dude loves baseball.
Like, so much.
He is a baseball nut. And so because of that, a lot of the things that, you know, would bog down most people, I don't think will bog him down.
We talked to Tyler Wade this morning about getting recruited by your dad to play at San Diego State before he was eventually drafted. We were just talking to Luis Arraez, and he was talking about his tee work and his video work, and again, your dad's name comes up again in that conversation. It's amazing, you know how much it's been, and yet still it feels like he's a daily presence around here. His lasting legacy on the Padres.
He does feel like he's has a presence around here, and you know what, that is in part obviously for what he did, but in part to the people who are in this building that make it a point to keep his name, you know, at the forefront. And we just so happen to have a few guys in camp that are in this organization that either are connected to him through how they work, or as in T-Way's situation, he was actually recruited by my dad. So I'm grateful that the people in this building, although the people have changed over time, they've all wanted my dad to still be very much a part of the organization.
You can't avoid it. I was on Twitter the other day, and the video popped up. It's kind of the overhead shot, and he's like, "Get your foot down." I got T-ball practice that night, and then I got baseball practice the next day with my 7-year-old, and I'm out there telling him the exact same thing. I had a game on Sunday. I'm in the box. Now I got my ass chewed up by the guy. He threw me a 3-2 splitter to a 50-year-old.
3-2 splits,
it's going to get you right?
Watch out for
but in my mind, all I'm thinking of, get your foot down, stay balanced, get your knob to the baseball. This is, 35 years later, and it's still the most valuable information.
Listen, we were talking to Jesse about this yesterday. So much information out there that has made the game a little bit easier to kind of – it makes it an easier, an appetizing kind of thing to deal with. But a lot of things don't change.
They really don't.
I mean, the mechanics of hitting. We can have this debate all day long, but the mechanics of hitting really don't change. There's different ways that people approach it, but mechanics of pitching don't change. Like, you still have to do the things correct, for the most part, to have success.
Yeah.
So before we go to break, I want to play a clip from yesterday's game against the Angels, because you and Jesse, who's sitting right here as well, have become somewhat viral stars.
Yeah,
as
we're
part
making
of,
too much news.
A part of this moment.
Too much attention.
So we've talked to Schulte about the new ABS system and the challenges, and the home plate umpire, Mike Malinsky, yesterday had three plays overturned, three of his ball strike calls overturned when Brett Sullivan asked for number four late in the game. And here's what it sounded like yesterday here on 97.3 The Fan with Jesse and Tony.
Good breaking ball. Just misses. Brett Sullivan going to challenge.
Ball call.
Brett has been expert at the ABS system.
Ooh.
The call is surprisingly correct.
Surprisingly? Elite. That is an elite call from that umpire.
Oh, I gotta told tell you.
Mike Malinsky, one of our favorites.
Yeah, you know Mike.
I've seen this dude's grind, so I have a lot of respect for him. There aren't very many umpires in our league that have his sense of humor. Because him and what you guys don't know is him and Brett kind of going back and forth pretty much the whole game since whenever he came in. And so they
in a friendly way?
In 100%.
Super friendly way.
And so I thought it was – that's why Jesse and I thought it was hilarious.
It was.
This must be kind of a power trip for catchers now to have, yeah. have the power.
It works both ways, though, because if you challenge one, right, and it's eighth of an inch off, if I'm the umpire, I'm definitely letting you hear about it. Like, 100%. Yeah, pretty
told
good,
you.
Huh?
Yeah, not bad.
I feel like Joe West wouldn't have been so self-deprecating.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't. Mike is a rarity in this game.
Well, I love it. Ruben already said no pitchers are allowed to challenge. We're not going to let these guys, because everyone they think is a strike.
They're an emotional bunch.
I love it.
Oh, well, Tony, thank you for sitting down with us. Appreciate it. And you'll be on. So you got the game, and then, or are you just on your show today?
I got the game, and then
the show,
home
and then
the
Sammy's going
to
be on with you, I think, a part of it. So.
I think I'm going to call in, too.
Yeah, yep. Okay. We're trying to be flexible around here with
whatever
our
they
schedule.
Need.
It's fluid.
It's fluid. All right, we're going to take time out. We'll check traffic. We're going to give away the SDFC tickets. And guess what? Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by the executive president of baseball operations and general manager of the Padres, A.J. Preller, is going to be with us.
Love it. So, it's been a while.
All coming up here with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Can they turn me loose in the batting cages with the music, perhaps?
Oh, you want to be the DJ?
Yeah.
I'm listening to Tucker Wetmore. I just had to Shazam it. Tucker Wetmore's Wine into Whiskey or something. It's not my favorite.
No, I wonder who the DJ is.
I don't know. Right, who gets to pick?
The ultimate authority weird. When it comes to music here at the Peoria Sports Council. It can't just be one person's job all the time.
No.
They have to have a mix.
Somebody that works here came by earlier and they're like, you want me to see if we can turn it down a little bit? I'm like, if you want to turn it off, that'd be even better. Heartache medication.
And listen to the background. I'm like, oh my God.
Hit the whiskey.
can't do their work without a little bit of music, at least.
It's fine. That's fine. You hear a Biggie or Tupac or anything?
Going to get caught up here before A.J. Preller joins us at the bottom of the hour. Didn't really do this today, although I did think the video and audio from yesterday's Padres game and that challenge was a really good do this for umpire Mike Molesky. What is it? Mike
Molester?
McCleskey?
Is that what you were going to say?
No.
Mike Molester.
That's not it. That's not it.
That's what you said.
When we do it, Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. And as long as I'm taking care of business, let's also open up the phone lines to give away those tickets to the SDFC home opener, their first ever home match at Snapdragon Stadium this Saturday night. The time is now. San Diego. San Diego Football Club's inaugural season is finally here. Team kicks off their first ever home match against St. Louis City SC Saturday, March 1st at Snapdragon Stadium. The first 30,000 fans in attendance will receive a free commemorative SDFC scarf, courtesy of DirecTV. Don't miss Mexican superstar Chucky Lozano and the rest of the squad. They are now 1-0. Are you ready? Single match and single tickets are on sale now. And season tickets, visit sandiegofc.com/tickets to secure your season seats today.
What do you know about St. Louis FC?
They were an expansion team just 2 years ago.
Okay.
So they're fairly new as well.
What's their record this season? Do we know?
I don't know if they won or lost their first game. Okay. Everyone's played just the once.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
3 points for us.
We have three.
Three.
Yes, that's as most you can have at this point.
Yeah.
If you want to call in and win, though, a fifth caller at 833-288-0973 is going to win that pair of tickets to San Diego FC's home debut this Saturday night at Snapdragon Stadium.
Yep.
7:30 start, so might be a little late for Luis Arraez to stay up for the entire second half of the match.
Speaking of Luis Arraez, we got our Little League unis the other day, and you go down to the snack shop and you pick them all up, and it's the benefits of being the coach's kid, right? You get your choice of numbers, right? You get your choice of numbers. That's exactly what's going to happen. Guess what the most popular requested number was? And we get 1 through 13. That's what we get.
1 through 13.
Yeah, the All most right. popular number in San Diego, 1 through 13.
Obviously, number 13.
I was going to say 13, but if you said speaking of Luis Arraez.
It's not 4.
Is it 4?
No.
Hmm.
Little kids. Ages 5 to 8. It's number 3. We had requests out the wazoo.
Right. Honestly, I was trying to remember what number Merrill was.
Yep.
But yeah,
he's the most He's the most Little League-like of big leaguers I've ever seen.
No doubt.
That goes to something that he did earlier this week. So Jackson,
this was amazing.
So he's in the lineup again today. And he's going to go to Glendale, and he'll probably play like four innings.
Yeah.
And because he's a big league, you know, he's a big league starter. He's going to get pulled out of the game. Usually, when that happens, you get right back in your car or wherever, and you're headed back to the Peoria Sports Complex or whatever.
The veterans, they drive themselves.
Yeah. And it's always the funniest thing to see in the middle of a spring training broadcast. You see 15 guys with those big-ass bags walking down through right field almost. In the middle of the game as the other guys are playing.
But this on Monday, I think when he had his last game here at the Peoria Sports Complex, all the starters, you know, Manny, everybody, they're done after four innings. They came back, you know, finish up their work and go home. Jackson stayed all nine innings, sat there cheering for the minor league guys, you know, in the dugout for a spring training game that, you know, doesn't mean anything at all. But he said, you know, those are my teammates, and I'm not an established veteran yet. I'm just a second year guy. I'm still here, but these young guys are my guys.
So we had
I'm sticking around with them.
Yeah, we had a very special request. There's go figure, there's a Jackson on my team, and he wanted three. So I had to convince Bo to give up three, which was his number one request, and Bo ended up going with number four, which is Luis Arraez's number, who he adores, and then Taylor ended up going with number four also because he does everything Bo does. So and he's 4 years old.
All right.
So that one flew off the shelves, but number three was requested by everybody. Everybody wants to be Jackson Merrill now.
You kind of don't want Jackson Merrill, obviously, to ever lose that.
Correct.
But at the same time, he doesn't have to stick around for every single inning of every spring training game.
No. But, I think it's worthy of mentioning because it's just not something that happens all of the time.
It doesn't happen any of the
ever,
time.
Ever of the time.
It's completely unheard of, essentially, at spring training.
That's pretty cool.
For a veteran player. And, by the way, even if you have 1 year under your belt and you're guaranteed pretty much a starting position, he'll say, I'm not guaranteed anything. He'll say, it's just... That's not done anymore in baseball, if it ever was.
It's just not. It's not. No, we got about 30 minutes left. Going to be joined by AJ Preller here pretty shortly. And then, man, you know what? I'm excited to go back and watch. Drills. Watch these guys drill.
I've been watching Dylan Cease for the last 5 minutes.
Yep, throwing a pen.
I can just sit here and watch it all day.
Logan Glaspie's in there as well, getting some work in. So, yeah, I could watch this stuff absolutely all day. Is that? No. Okay. All right. So, yeah, we're waiting on AJ.
What a morning.
You've been incredible.
Yeah, it's been
amazing. We're doing 12 segments today, start to finish.
Yep.
After AJ Preller wraps up the show with us, that'll be 9 guests.
Love it.
Out of the 12 segments, and every single one of them has been incredible.
They've knocked it out of the park. It's been so fun. A lot of good reviews there in the chat. Thank you guys for being here with us today. People saying, well, now I'm so fired up for my spring training trip. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I look at it, I'm like, we're winning the World Series. We're winning, who's beating these guys? It's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's another team that's definitely going to have something to say about that. I did see that Blake Snell made his spring training debut for the Dodgers yesterday. Said he felt good, liked his velo with a scoreless inning.
He had a 30-pitch inning, and I saw a Dodger fan that I know, decent guy, was tweeting about it. He goes, everyone's making a big deal out of this, 30-pitch first inning. I go, bro. Get used to it. I said a 30-pitch first for Blake Snell is standard.
What the hell? Does Snell just go 3-2 on every single batter? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. He absolutely does. But I told him, I said, get ready for this from now until August. I said, if you can ride the wave, there is no ceiling for Blake Snell.
It's interesting because when he came over from Tampa here, the thought was, Kevin Cash just wasn't letting him go deep into games. Padres are going to let him go deeper into games. It's like, no, it was Kevin Cash.
He goes deep into innings, bro. I mean,
90 pitches through three innings.
Yeah, that's pretty much limited to how much you can throw.
It's so funny.
When that's going to be your MO.
Because, again, the guy literally... I'm not accusing him of being a casual. He comments a lot. He watches a lot of baseball. But he said, everyone's making a big deal. It's spring training. He's working on stuff. I'm like, no, he's not. This is Blake Snell. You are getting the June Blake Snell experience, my friend. A 30-pitch first is literally standard. Like, it's just... It comes.
It works for him, my man.
And it works.
Would we like to see it here still? Of course.
Of course. And, you know, he won a Cy Young and everything that. Like, yeah,
The question is, Moot says, through three, and then 90 pitches through six. That's exactly what you get from Blake Snell every single time out. So it was pretty funny to see. But, yeah, man, they're going to be good. I saw Roki gave up a tank to the first guy he faced. But, I wouldn't get too fired up about it either fan base.
All right, let's take a timeout. We'll give A.J. the floor when we come back. A.J. Preller going to sit down with us for our final segment of Ben and Woods.
Think he's got 30 minutes in him?
Oh, yeah. AJ? Absolutely. He's carrying us to the finish line today with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Paulie just announced to us. I see a floppy hat coming this way.
Yes,
that is the distinctive spring training attire of one AJ Preller.
He can't look. He can't peel himself away from watching.
That's all right. We can
bullpen.
We can get ready. We'll check our last traffic here coming up, and then we'll give him a couple of minutes to head on over. But it'll be good to catch up with AJ as he presides over the team that he has constructed, at least to this point. You know, with AJ, it's always a work in progress.
Sure.
And who knows if there could still be changes before opening day. But AJ Preller will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, yeah. Nelly Jr. Joseph. We're talking
Basketball.
Talking a little college basketball, of course, with A.J. Preller, because he was watching the Aztecs game last night as they pulled off a very important win. But we're actually here to talk baseball with the president of baseball operations and general manager himself, A.J. Preller. A.J., it's good to see you. How you feeling?
Good, yeah. I got my my illness out before spring training. I probably was patient zero that gave it to the rest of my team, unfortunately.
Was it the
flu? Can't be mad.
I've had
two bouts of whatever it is,
cold, everything. So
I heard it's not great. This go around has not been great. But yeah, it's knocked some people out. I did see Toddy walk in. I saw Campy come in.
He's in the lineup today.
Yeah, Shilty said going to try to start easing them in. Guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. probably not too worried about getting his work in before he came in great shape. Looks to be really really healthy, as is most of the club right now. Knock on wood.
Yeah, no, I think, it's spring training in terms of it seems like every year you kind of go through, obviously bumps and bruises, but then also, you kind of get through the flu season and everything like that. So, yeah, Toddy back in camp today, have plenty of time with, about a month to the start of the season. So, I think it's good to get it out of the way now and, get ready for the year.
So the dynamic of the off season was, difficult for us, and I'm not asking for any sympathy, but, we're hearing from the fans who are wondering, hey, when are they going to sign some players? When are they going to add some pieces? They lost some pieces. And then we start kind of getting worried about it as well. And then the last few weeks, obviously, you made a lot of moves. Mm-hmm. And now you kind of show up when we look here. And the pitching depth looks pretty good. I mean, the competition for the last roster spots looks pretty interesting. How happy are you with how everything came together here over this last month?
Yeah, I think the roster build and, the construction, it's a fluid process. So, I think last year you looked and we made moves throughout spring training or going into spring training and then into the season. I think that the good, I think for us, we have that nucleus of players that that have been parts now of playoff teams and playoff runs. So I think going into the year, and really over the course of over the last few off seasons, you're going to have a team that starts with Tatis and Merrill and Machado and Bogan, Cronenworth and Darvish, Musgrove, Cease King, going into it obviously with Joe's injury. But so I think it's there's all different times in terms of how to making trades and free agent period. I think the other thing too is, again, we spent money to sign those players a few years ago, looking at a market that we thought was going to keep going up, I think you look at what's going on in the market. There weren't too many deals that happened this offseason where we looked at and go, wow, that's really a value play or something that, I think from our standpoint, it just speaks to I think from our standpoint, trying to get ahead of it a few years ago with signing some of those players, because it's, the industry, the value of the players keeps going up and up. And, we were, I think, quietly on some fronts in the pursuit of some guys and made some offers, just didn't line up. And then to be able to line up here at the start of spring training on Nick Pivetta, make some other moves, that we think, can strengthen our depth, I think it leads to a competitive camp and a team that we feel like is going to be very competitive.
Well, it was so funny because we're talking to A.J. Preller here on Ben and Woods. The day before, it was Monday, and you guys signed Pivetta on Tuesday.
And the day before, we had kicked it around. He's probably the best remaining guy out there. He's got really nasty stuff, can strike guys out, you know, pitched in Fenway, and, you know, imagine him at Petco. And then we all started talking about the pick that you would have to give up to sign a Nick Pivetta. And we all kind of, AJ really, he's not going to want to give that up. And, of course, the next day it happened. For you, the risk-reward of that, obviously you get Nick Pivetta potentially for four seasons. What did you see in him, you know, other than just the need in the fourth slot in the rotation? What did you see in Nick Pivetta that you liked?
I think like, you know, I think a very good fit, you know, in terms of, you know, a pitcher that we feel like, you know, has been a performer in, you know, pitching the AL East and some Duff ballparks between Philly and Boston. It's real stuff. He's got the ability to strike you out. He's got a real curveball, real sweeper in there. You know, he's a guy that can start a playoff game.
Yeah.
So again, like, you know, giving up the draft pick, it's always, like, you know, consideration. We value the heck out of the draft. You've
sure.
got to always be looking towards that. That's your lifeblood. So that was not an easy decision to make there, but we thought ultimately the value we got, the fit for the team, and the potential upside of Pivetta, I think all those things lined up. I mean, over the last, you know, few years, you know, Cease King, Darvish, Musgrove, Snell, we've brought in a lot of, you know, Waka, Lugo a few years ago. We've brought in a lot of these guys from outside the organization. We think Pivetta's kind of that ilk and felt like he fit our club really well.
How much do, you said you obviously value that draft pick. How do you put, like, a figure on it or, like, a player on it? Because you got players this year who are going into the last year of their deals that might get qualifying offers that could get you back draft picks, but you always have to think about, well, if I traded them now, I might be able to get other prospects. How do you do that process of deciding, like, what that future pick is worth versus what you can get in a trade now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like, we have our own metrics that we look at, our own valuation system, you know, and, you know, to me it's like the ability to put a dollar value or just an overall kind of asset value on each of these players. So it don't want to be cold about it or harsh,
yeah.
like from a business standpoint, but, like, yeah, like the ability, I mean, again, you look up and we've had the ability to draft well, and, you know, our scouting group, you know, does a great job, like, you know, getting that. So it's not like sometimes people, oh, what's a baseball draft pick? What's a second round pick? What's a third round pick? Yeah, you look around the league and, like, it turns into some of the best players in the game. So that's all part of the valuation. Also looking, obviously, what Pivetta can bring to our current team and what that means in terms of him throwing innings, pitching well, you know, the quality statistics that we look at, weigh it all out and ultimately make a call. That's the name of the game.
Over under 10 calls on Dylan Cease in the last, like, 3 weeks.
There's always a lot of interest in a few of our players.
Sure.
It's been consistent all off season. So, go ahead.
Well, I think I've asked you before, like, they're baseball, and I think probably business in general, just outside of baseball. There is that blood in the water mentality sometimes, and if you perceive that maybe things are different in the Padres organization, we can pounce and maybe we can grab somebody. Has it been more or less this offseason for you fielding calls from other GMs yeah. wanting some of your players?
No, I think in that sense it's been pretty normal, honestly.
Okay.
You know, I think a lot's been written and said, but
yeah.
honestly, I think everybody, you know, you get a track record. We've been here now, I don't know, 11 years or so, and there's been times where we've been really active. There's been times we haven't. It's been trade deadlines where we've been active. I think kind of the perception, all the Padres are always looking to make deals
yeah,
and
yeah.
move. It's like, you know, again, like, we're, like, pretty, like, you know, our process has got a lot of steps to it and stages. And I think, you know, from our standpoint, you know, I think we're not scared of taking opportunities. So sometimes, like, you know, I think from this offseason standpoint, it's pretty consistent in terms of if we get the value we want for a certain player, et cetera, we got to listen to it. You know, I think that's the nature of all of these things. I think teams understand, but I think they also understand, like, yeah, we're gonna hold to our lines. You know, I think there's been you know, trade periods where we've moved because we've gotten guys that we like. There's been other times where we've traded really good prospects or we've acquired superstar players, but we're not going to make a move just to make a move. I think the industry respects that, understands that, and that's how the offseason played out. You know, I think it wasn't like anything out of the ordinary from that standpoint.
Talking to Padres president of baseball operations and general manager AJ Preller, and looking at the you know, competition for the spot in left field, I look at the non-roster signings that you get, and scouting is such a big part of what you do that we don't really see so much as fans in the background. But how do you land on a guy like an Oscar Gonzalez and you see the potential for him to do what maybe he did before in Cleveland, or a Jonathan Perlaza? You know, when you look at those guys and decide, I think that's someone who might be able to help us this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like Pete DeYoung on the pro scouting side, that's kind of his baby. It's like the minor league free agent side of things and the big league free agency. So, I mean, our staff, you know, we've got a deep pro staff. You know, our scouts weigh in, our analysts weigh in, you know, our coaching staff that's played against those guys in the minor leagues weigh in. You know, tons of conversation throughout the offseason, pref list, and obviously everybody's for a little different reason. Ultimately, it's to try to help the organization. Sometimes at the minor league level, hey, like, you know, we think this guy can just be a good organizational kind of contributor. Most of the time, it's because we think they have a chance to contribute at the big league level. And again, we've seen it, you know, different pickups over the years. You know, last year's team, like how valuable, you know, some of the guys that came up either as extra pieces in trades. You know, getting on Jeremiah Estrada off the waiver wire was a huge one. We've seen it in years past with like the Kirby Yates and the Brad Hand. So it's like, you know, a lot of times like the flashy, you know, the Manny or, you know, like, you know, the big free agent signing, that's obviously the big headline maker. And, you know, but it's like the other moves are, you know, it's a ton of work that goes into it. It's a ton of work behind the scenes, you know, but I let our group, you know, really dictate, you know, the guys that they're choosing on that minor league free agent line. They've had a pretty good tracker against some guys that have come in and contributed.
And obviously a lot of words are already being spoken and written about some of the young arms that you have in camp. You know, Bradley Rodriguez is a guy we hear almost every day about the work that he's putting in, the ability that he has. Net is another guy that Schulte mentioned earlier. For you, how does that kind of shape up? Are you pretty excited about the depth that you have at all levels this year, or are you kind of still looking to maybe add depth in whether the big league level or the minor league level?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not cliche. It's always looking to add, but I think, again, like when we made the deals last year at the deadline, again, we're expecting a lot of those guys that we dealt to be big leaguers, you know, and to show up in the big leagues. But, you know, we had a chance to go add a, you know, Tanner Scott or Brian Hoeing or Jason Adam to a team that we thought could win a championship, but that comes at a cost. I think part of the reason why we did it, though, is because we thought we had this, you know, like a pretty wide group of arms. We've seen a few of them here this spring training. You know, obviously Bradley, you know, he's had a couple outings now. It's early, but I think you start to see why we're excited about it.
Yeah.
It's three real pitches plus stuff. You know, he's got an attack mentality on the mound. And, you know, Net faced the Dodgers the other day. He's got, you know, real shapes to his pitches, you know, five or six, you know, that we think can play at the big league level. Again, the consistency, that's the difference between a minor league prospect that flashes you, you know, major league type tools and ability versus somebody that can do it at the big league level. So I think for both of those guys, Francis Pena as well, it's going to be about, you know, like how consistent they can get at kind of harnessing the plus ability we've seen, the plus pitches we've seen, and making it more consistent over the course of the next few months to see if they can help us this year at Peckham.
Well, and the big two that everyone talking about, Salas and DeVries, of course, we had a chance to watch them when we were out here at Fantasy Camp. You know, they're out here getting their work, and then the work that they put in so far in spring training, you got to be pretty thrilled about their progress right now. What do you kind of foresee with Ethan and Leo moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, it's exciting. Again, like, you know, these spring training games, you get a chance to see kind of your established guys working their way, you know, into you know, regular season shape. You get to see some of the names we brought in that are new to the organization, and then you kind of see the progression of a Salas or a DeVries, and I think so far it's been really positive. You know, obviously, you know, I think that bat that we saw yesterday in the ninth inning there from Leo, that's what our coaches have seen. That's what our scouts have seen over the last few years and last year in A-ball. So he's, you know, with Leo, he looks like he belongs at a super young age. Those are good signs. We've had Tatis and Merrill and CJ and James Wood and others over the years, and, you know, DeVries and Salas have that look. And I think Ethan, kind of coming off of last year where so much, you know, so much hype, so much attention to him, kind of forget, 18 years old,
yeah,
still. But the catching ability is very real. You know, he's a difference maker behind the plate. You know, he's a guy that, like, with the bat, you know, I think, again, like, you know, he continues to, you know, look up and make adjustments, and has had some really quality ABs so far, both in the live BPs on the backfields and in the game. So, you know, you usually win with strong players up the middle. I don't think there's too many systems in the game that, you know, catcher, shortstop, and, you know, center field with Jackson, that have guys that that can be real plus players for a long time like we do.
Pudge Rodriguez was 19 when he made his debut. I mean, you just never know what can happen, and had a pretty good career in his own right.
AJ, I really appreciate it. Thank you for sitting down with us. We had a really fun first day here. You've got got a good group.
Yeah,
and,
you do.
You know, we talked with Schilty about it, that there's some deliberate choices that are made of the kind of guys that are brought in here that have sometimes a little bit of edge and fire to them, but are good in a clubhouse.
Yep.
And you know, I think that speaks well of the decisions you're making as well. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, I think, the makeup piece, huge part of it. And then, again, I think being able to give them to Mike and his staff, where Mike values the heck out of it and brings a group together, and we saw it last year. It's a very comforting feeling from a GM to go hand to a manager that you know is going to get the most out of their ability.
Awesome.
Are you healthy again? Or, I mean, not just the flu, but
Tony's always day-to-day.
Tony Gwynn Jr. said you need to get healthy so you can get back on the court. What's the basketball game?
He's usually the injured one.
He's the injured one.
He always is.
How's your game right now?
Non-existent.
Yeah. Non-existent.
My game's watching UCSD and San Diego State right now. That's my game. So.
Why not? One last question.
Go ahead, yeah.
You love basketball so much. Why didn't you go try to build a championship basketball team?
Yeah, I don't really love. I've always loved baseball more, you know, and I like to enjoy. Right now, you don't really go play pickup baseball to get some exercise. So maybe some guys do in that senior men's type world. But
yes,
I enjoy the exercise and the competition, the camaraderie of the basketball.
There's
team.
Plenty of exercise
it's
to
like
be had.
I get
on a
emotional
Sunday,
about the Aztecs game, but that's just because I let myself be a total fan of it.
That's true.
I don't have to worry about
that's
it.
True.
Exactly.
That's true.
Thanks, AJ.
Thank
appreciate
you,
guys.
All right, that is it. We are at the end of our first program. What a great 4 hours that was. I don't know how we're going to top ourselves tomorrow, but we just still
either.
Have guys like Manny Machado
who
are supposed to stop by with us. Plenty of people to still chat with over the next couple of days while we're still here in Peoria broadcasting live from Padres.
I've been told Jason Hayward will be by tomorrow.
Very excited.
Connor Joe is definitely
love
stopping
what
by.
What a story he's got.
Connor Joe, I've been told he's going to arrive right around 7 when we start here, 6 a.m. in San Diego.
Okay.
So if you want to hear Connor Joe, you're going to be with us right at the start.
Love Connor Joe. Always have. Great, great dude. Great, great dude.
And
great.
Was this? Team Germany is out here. I did not know that.
I see Deutschland on the front of jerseys.
You like minor 40 leaguers guys walked
playing,
by.
Yeah, playing the minor leaguers. You got to find some competition. Anywhere searching for teams to come in.
I should have brought my glove. I should have brought my glove. Come on.
Right, Woods has a pretty good German accent. You could sneak in with the team.
He's over there talking to one of them now. He also thinks we're done. We're not.
Yeah,
done.
We're not.
We're
done
still
with
live
the show
on
yet.
The air.
We're not quite finished with the program yet. But that's okay. We've got Annie and Elston will be coming up next.
Man.
Sammy's going to be here all day. So we'll have many more updates for you here from Padres spring training. You will not miss a single thing. We got you well covered on 97.3 The Fan all week long, especially
what
this
a morning.
Week. All right, that's it for us. A lot of people we got to thank. Frank back in the studio. Frank Marchese doing a great job. Got to thank Craig Huener, Darren Feeney, Danny Sanchez, and the PR team here at the Peoria Sports Complex. For Paul Reindl, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.